I worry for the sun, yes, I worry for the snow. I worry I'll die young while I worry, yes, I worry for.
One, two, three, four, five, six.
You're listening to WGXC, ACRA, Hudson, Catskill, 90.7 FM. We're here for you.
Hi, everybody. This is Dan from Campbell Hudson. The Oberufer Shepherd's Play was performed for hundreds of years in a small Austrian village called Oberufer on the River of Danube. It's a native play told largely from the point of view of three bubbling shepherds who are visited by the angel Gabriel. They make their way to Bethlehem in search of the newborn Jesus child. Tradition had it that a group of ordinary citizens would come together each year at Christmas time to perform the play for the town. This year, the Camp Hill Hudson community has come together to put on this play for their friends and neighbors in the city of Hudson. Come see the Shepherd's Play at the Presbyterian Church on the corner of Warren and 4th Streets in Hudson on Friday, December 15th at 7 p.m. and Saturday, December 16th at 4 p.m. Donations are greatly accepted. Happy holidays. Hope to see you there.
Wayfarm respectfully and humbly acknowledges the past, present, and future Indigenous peoples on whose ancestral lands Wayfarm and our radio station, WGXC, operate and broadcast. The Mohicans named themselves the people of the waters that are never still, following their arrival along the Mohicanituck, the great ebb tide river also known as the Hudson. The Mohicans stewarded this land over many generations in dynamic communication and interaction with diverse Indigenous peoples, including the Haudenosaunee Mohawk and the Munsee Lenape. Mohican descendants today live in communities in Ontario, Wisconsin, and Oklahoma. For further information on Mohican history and the contemporary community of the Stockbridge Munsee Band of Mohican Indians, please visit Mohican.com.
Wayfarm's WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Page in Ghent, New York. WGXC monthly supporters care deeply about Creative Community Radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
Thank you. Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, and beyond. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
My name's Alden, and I'm from the United States, Portland, Oregon, but I live in Abu Dhabi in the United Arab Emirates.
My name's Mila, and I'm from United States of America, but I live in the United Emirates also.
And you're my niece and nephew. Woo!
Yeah.
So I'm here every week, generally with people from the Hudson area, talking about books that we love, books that we maybe don't love as much, and other bookish things. But my co-host couldn't join me this week, so I was lucky to pull in two of my favorite young readers who are not from the Hudson area, but who have been to the Hudson area, although Alden hasn't been in quite some time.
Yep.
You were like a little baby when you were last in Hudson, but Mila was just there in the summer. But we're going to talk about some books today. I'm excited to hear what you all have to share. So why don't we start with Alden? He has a giant book with him, an intimidatingly giant book.
It is over 1,000 pages. It is 1,000, wait for it.
Well, that's it. Well, not all those books are pages of things you'd read.
Yeah, I know, but it's listed pages. There's 1,137.
A lot of pages. Yes. And what's the book?
The book is The Lord of the Rings Complete Trilogy by J.R.R. Tolkien.
Ah, so it's three books in one.
Technically, it's three books in one, but I'm on the first one.
Cool. What can you tell us about it? So you're reading The Fellowship of the Ring.
Yes. I read The Hobbit a long time ago, and I really liked it. And I asked my dad if I could read The Lord of the Rings, and he said he thinks I'd appreciate it more when I'm older, because he says it's more complicated than The Hobbit. So recently this year and last year, I got the book from a guy that lived in our apartment complex, and I started reading it in the summer, I believe. And it's a really good book. It's very detailed and uses a lot of, like, wait, how do you say, like, there's a word I'm thinking of. It's like to describe things very well. Like, I mean, you could say like sensory, I guess, but.
Okay.
Not, like very, it's very.
Like very descriptive.
Yeah, I
like
mean.
It's got, yeah. They make, include, he makes it like come to alive. Like you can feel like you're in the scene.
Yeah, I mean, it uses a lot of descriptive language. And I can tell that it's going to be a very good book, even though I'm hardly a fraction through it. I'm on chapter 5 of book 1, part 1.
Yeah.
Still have a lot to go. But I feel like they've hardly done anything, and it's already been...
I hear like they 90- sing a lot.
Yeah. It's been like 8 pages, and they're still in their home area, kind of.
Haven't left the Shire yet.
Yeah, they're about to take a ferry.
like a boat ferry.
Yeah.
They're not taking a ferry with wings. That's cool. It's interesting when it's like a huge book like that where it's three. Like, it doesn't seem like you've made it very far, but you've actually made it kind of far in the first book, probably. Are you like a quarter into it? I can't tell. Like, it actually looks like a big chunk of what I would assume is a third of the book. And you haven't seen the movies or anything, so you don't...
No.
You don't know what happens.
No. I watched the Hobbit movies, which, I don't know, I don't really like them as much as the book.
Yeah.
Normally, I like movies just as well as the book, just as good as the book, and sometimes even better. But the Hobbit, I think, it felt too long, like the movie might have been a bit too long. But this is how much Fellowship of the Ring.
Yeah, so you're maybe like a quarter or a third of the way in. But... Yeah, I agree. I have not read the Lord of the Rings trilogy. I read The Hobbit and really liked it. And I watched the first of the Hobbit movies and was kind of meh about it. But I liked the Lord of the Rings movies, so. But I don't have a book to compare.
Yeah, the Lord of the Rings show that came out last October,
there's a show?
Yeah, The Rings of Power.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Do you know what? I started watching that and liked it and then just never finished it. I should try watching that again.
I thought it was really good.
Yeah, I liked what I saw and then I just forgot about it.
And I know that one character that's in the show, or potentially even more, but I'm not sure, but my dad said that Galadriel.
Mm.
That's her name, yeah.
I recognize the name. I forget who it is.
She's like an elf. She has like blonde hair. But I'm pretty sure she's in both The Lord of the Rings and The Rings of Power.
Nice. Thanks for sharing your book. So why don't we move on to Mila and see what she has to share this week.
So I've been reading recently a book called, a series called The Giver. It's a series of four. I've read three of the four and I'm about to start the fourth one. The first one was Giver. The second one was Gathering Blue. And the third one, which I just finished, was
Messenger.
With Messenger, and they're a really cool trilogy, and when there's a world where, like, people think it's in a world, a utopian world, I forgot what it's called.
Dystopian
world, but one of the books is not set in that world. It's a world where people from that world come, from dystopian worlds come, and they're like, form a community together, and they usually have disabilities because people in those communities they don't want people with disabilities, like, throw them out there to the forest, expecting to get eaten
by the beasts.
And I think it's really interesting. That's the one I just finished. Gathering Blue is about a weaver, but her dad went to the village because somebody tried to kill him. And then he ran away to the village because if he didn't, he would die. And and his daughter is a really talented weaver, and her mom dies of sickness, and they want to kill her because somebody wants to kill her because they want her space. And she has a twisted leg, and she was born that way. But they have her chosen to do something because she has a gift, because she is really good with weaving. And they signed her for the singer's robe, and the singer's ceremony is like a ceremony where they sing about the past. And it's a really long song. That's the whole day. And it's really cool. And then the first book I read in the series, it's called The Giver. Basically, it's this boy who lives in a dystopian world again, and he goes to school there. You can't choose your job, and somebody chooses your job for you. He chose the job as the giver, and he's like the receiver of memories, okay? And he's taught by the giver, and they decide this plan because if he exits the community, the memories will go into the community, and it won't be his anymore, and the people will have to face it. and he's planning on the New Year event where people become older, basically. They become older at the New Year event. And he decides to leave. He was going to leave then. But they're about to release a little boy who's been living at their house because he doesn't sleep well. And he's a little, really little. So his name is Gabriel. So they leave a little early, and he takes Gabriel with him to a new place. And the new place is where the messenger is taking place. Which I think it's a really good book, and I can't wait to read the fourth book in the series called Sun.
I think it's interesting that, well, I think there's a few things interesting about the Giver series. I think it's interesting how the stories have connections, but they're not very clear. Like the Giver story compared to Gathering Blue, like you can't, there's not really an obvious connection between the two. I think that's interesting.
Together when you read, when you read the other messenger, but
yeah,
because you read the two first books, you have to read the third book to really understand.
I started reading the first book.
Yeah, I liked the first one. I've read the Giver twice. I read it when it first came out, or I don't know if it was when it first came out, but when I was a kid, and then I read it again, maybe like, I don't know, 5 or 10 years ago, and then I just read Gathering Blue for the first time. I haven't read Messenger or Sun yet, but I think it's interesting how I feel like often in trilogies, or I forget what it's called when it's four books, but usually it's like it's continuing the character's narrative. And in this, it's more like it's all set in the same world and eventually it ties together. But I thought that was cool. I hope you like Sun.
It's not a trilogy.
I know. I don't know the word for when it's four. Quadrology?
It's a quadrilogy.
Quadrilogy? Yeah, I don't know. I'm sure there's a word for it. I just don't know what it is.
I think four more is just a series.
Okay. Well, I have a book that I can talk about that is not part of a series, although maybe someday it would be. And it's actually a nonfiction book that's written for, I guess, kids or tweens. It's a middle grade nonfiction book. And it's called The Mona Lisa Vanishes, A Legendary Painter, A Shocking Heist, and the Birth of a Global Celebrity. It's by Nicholas Day, and it's illustrated by Brett Hellquist. And I really need to get a hold of the print book because I listened to it on audio, and I really liked the audiobook, but I love Brett Hellquist's artwork, and so I want to see it all. He's done a lot of amazing work. He's done picture books. He's done chapter books. Like, I'm pretty sure he did the books from the Lemony Snicket books, the series of unfortunate events. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, he did those. So just putting it out there. Great art, I'm sure, but I haven't seen it, so I can't review the artwork. But the story is really fascinating. It's in 1911 is when it's originally set. Well, sort of. It skips around in time. But in 1911, the Mona Lisa was stolen from the Louvre in Paris. And thus began a hunt for the painting and lots of theories about what happened to it, who stole it, who has it.
Wait, did that actually happen in real life?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And so so it's told very in a narrative style, this book. And so you follow the thief, although you don't know who it is at the beginning, while they're stealing the painting. And then you sort of get to see like the police trying to track down the painting. And like Pablo Picasso is at one point like mixed into the whole thing. And it also jumps back in time to Leonardo da Vinci and the painting of the Mona Lisa and who Lisa was. And so it's interesting. You get a little bit of that story and like what makes the painting unique but then also like the robbery itself and the manhunt, or the whole like heist and mystery behind the stealing of it, made the Mona Lisa like this hugely international famous painting. So even like it was a valuable work of art before, but now it's like the most famous painting in the world probably. And so it was really interesting, and I actually didn't know this had happened. I probably did know it at some point, like when I went to the Louvre, I probably knew it, but that was back in high school, so I'd forgotten. So it was an interesting book. I really liked it. I liked the heist element. I liked the mystery and the, like, I don't know, trying to figure out what happened. But I thought it was written in a way that was really like fun to read to, or to listen to in my case, but I think a lot of people would like it. Kids and adults alike.
You were asking who Galadriel was.
Oh, I was like, that's a man. He's showing me a picture. At first, I just saw Tolkien. I was like, that's not Galadriel.
It's on the
anyways, back. Yeah. So that is my book selection for the week. It was very good. And it's been on a lot of like best books of the year lists. And
do you like
interesting? Because I feel like I've seen the Mona Lisa before, and I've never. It's like not my favorite painting. I'm not as into portraits in general, but I do find it interesting as a painting. But it's interesting that it's like the most famous painting in the world. I mean, I'm saying it's the most famous as if I know, but I feel like most people, if they had to name famous paintings, they would name the Mona Lisa.
Oh yeah, Star Next, definitely famous.
Yeah.
Too. I think I like Starry Night more than the Mona Lisa.
I also remember when I saw it in like the 90s, and I assume because it's such a famous painting, it's like, it's kind of larger than life in its popularity, that I assumed it was going to be a big painting, and it's actually quite small.
Yeah.
I don't know the exact dimensions, but I was surprised by how small it was. And then there's like, you go to the Louvre and there's just like crowds standing in front of it trying to get a look at it. And so it makes it look even smaller because it's surrounded by people. Wonder if I can see the dimensions. It is 77 centimeters by 53 centimeters, so 30 inches by 21 inches.
Oh, it's like a couple of feet.
That's
pretty
so
small.
Tiny. A little mini.
So it's shorter. Its shortest dimension is like about, like if you took two pieces of computer paper and put them like long ways side to side, it's about that wide for the smallest section, for the width. Yeah, so that's my book selection for the week. We've got the Giver series and Lord of the Rings. Has some other picks for the week.
Mona Lisa.
And the Hand Who Stole the Mona Lisa.
Who do you think did it? Why do you think they stole it?
Because
I'm not going to tell you, but.
Because they were a joke.
I think it was Leonardo DiCaprio.
Do you think Leonardo DiCaprio stole it in 1911?
I think his brother, because he was jealous.
I think Leonardo DiCaprio stole the Mona Lisa.
Seems likely.
No, I think his great-great-granddaughter stole it because she was jealous.
Who's great-great-granddaughter?
Who's great-great-granddaughter?
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Leonardo da Vinci.
Yeah.
No, Leonardo DiCaprio.
Starting rumors.
Yeah,
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Leonardo da Vinci. The famous famous artist Leonardo.
No,
DiCaprio.
I actually think Leonardo DiCaprio stole it because he was sick of people mistaking him for Leonardo da Vinci.
Mm-hmm. So he went back in time. He took a time machine before he was born and stole the painting.
No.
I think it was J.R.R. Tolkien.
Could be.
He was alive from 1892 to 1973. He died the year my dad was born.
Interesting. Could be.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Kelly, what I think? I think it was Leonardo da Vinci's, one of Leonardo da Vinci's siblings, because they were jealous.
They weren't alive.
They'd be very old. But maybe it was a descendant. Could be.
Yeah, they were jealous.
Yeah. But if you want to find out what happened, what history says happened, you can check out the book and find out. Highly suggested. But on that note, we're going to wrap it up for today. We hope everyone out there listening has a great week filled with lots of quality reading time. And we'll be back next week to talk about some more books. Thank you both for joining me today. Mm-hmm. Happy reading.
Bye-bye.
Bye. See you next time, guys.
See you next time, guys.
Subscribe.
Please like and subscribe.
You and when I meet face to face, yeah, don't be late. I'm just talking on the phone, yeah, I'm not gonna.